Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of my message is, There Must Be Also Heresies Among You. And we'll read from verse 19. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. Now he says, it's needful for you. It's needful for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that there be heresies, divisions, splits, all of these things that people say, well, if that was the real church, there wouldn't be any heresies. Well, the harlot church hasn't been dealt with yet. She's still, the wheat and the tares are still growing together. There's the true church, and then there's the false church. But let's see here. I think I've got the wrong set of notes here. Look back at 2 Peter. Now there always has been divisions, splits, heresies, false prophets, false teachers in the church. That's always been. Korah, Dathan, and all those folks. But look at 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, according to their profession, the Lord bought them, but the Lord didn't buy these folks. Only in their profession. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's always going to be. It always has been. It's always going to be. Look at Matthew 13. Verses 24 and 25. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now he went on to explain this, that the world is the field, the good seed are the children of the kingdom or believers, and the bad seed or the seed that the enemy sowed was hypocrites, false professors. And the end of the world is the judgment, when Christ will send out his angels and gather out the tares, gather out everything that offends out of his kingdom. But the point is here that I wanted to make is that this is while men slept. Men were asleep while this enemy sowed tares. But look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold. Draw your attention to this now. Look this over. Look at what it says. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now the Lord wasn't asleep. He wasn't slumbering when these tares were sown among his wheat. He knew they were in there. Not only did he know it, he foreordained it before the foundation of the world that it should be. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose, and he worketh all things after the counsel of his will for the purpose, for the trial of faith of his people. Because true faith has to be tried, and one of the ways that is tried, several ways faith is tried. Faith is tried by difficulties that we endure, afflictions that we endure, separations in families, all kinds of things that come up and cause that try our faith. But then faith is tried by the Word. Our Arminian acquaintances are tried by the Word. They won't have the Word. They don't believe God. The Scriptures say that God the Father chose a people to eternal life before the foundation of the world and predestinated them to the adoption of children. And they say, no, that's not so. If God was like that, then he'd be unfair. And the Apostle Paul said, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And then he went on to say, nay, but O man, who do you think you are that you argue and put up a fuss against God? His thoughts are higher above our thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth, and his ways are higher than our ways. And we cannot think and reason and understand in wisdom on a level with God. We should never think that we're going to be able to understand God. If we could understand God, understand all he does, understand all his ways, then we'd be equal with God. But we can't. Now I know he said in Jeremiah, and I don't remember chapter and verse, but he said that you understand and know me. That we understand his way of salvation, how it is he deals with men through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we understand how he justifies the ungodly, that we understand how it is that the gospel, that the Holy Spirit works in us to bring forth salvation. We understand those things. There are some of the things that are revealed to the children of man, and they belong to us and to our children, but there are secret things that we do not understand, and probably never will. Anyway, so the Lord knew about these tares. He saw them before the foundation of the world. He appointed them with everything else from eternity past. Look at Jude 4. For there were certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Well, who ordained them? The same one that ordained everything else. The Lord ordained them. He ordained these tares. He ordained the fall of Satan. He ordained the fall of all of the angels that followed Satan. He ordained everything that comes to pass in this world. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. though men were asleep, our Father wasn't. He saw it all come to pass. He brought it to pass. He allowed, he permitted those men to do that. He not only did he ordain it, just like the greatest act of evil that was ever committed, those men by wicked hands. Look at Acts 2:23. Acts 2:23. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by determinate counsel, or the determined counsel of God. What God had determined before the foundation of the world. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel in God. Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, or foreordination of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was their wicked hand, their wicked motive, their wicked heart set in motion, and God turned them loose. Is that all right? Go ahead and do as you will. So when all of these things... In all of these things, our faith, in all of these things that we see happen, these disturbances and trials and all of these things that the church has had to put up with over the years, there was the Arian heresy. There was this heresy and that's her heresy. There were some who denied that Christ was that he actually died.
Yeah.
There were some who denied that he was truly a man. There were some that denied that he was truly God. But all of these things that the church has had to deal with over the years, the church, by councils and so on, and by gathering together and reasoning through the scriptures, have come together and have separated the truth from the false, and the church has been experienced in that and has grown thereby. And we have today the doctrine of the gospel in its truth, as we have sorted through and as the church has been made to sort through all these heresies that have flooded through the church over past history. We benefit from the errors that have been preached in the past and the church had to deal with and exclude. So all these things have been beneficial to the church. Because our trial, look at 1 Peter 1:7, where he said the trial of our faith. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. It's the gospel he left us with. Satan hasn't been able to move the true church off of the truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now the reason for this is that the Lord Jesus Christ does not have a spouse that can be moved around with every wind of doctrine and follow every false teacher that comes down the road. Look here at Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Romans 8:28. We trust God in that we know that he works all things after he causes all things to work together for good to them that love God. So all these heresies that come after us, that come in like a flood, will certainly work out to our good. And we know that all things, heresies, evil teachers, evil works, all those things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, not to everybody now. Everybody wants to quote that scripture and just say, well, all things work together for good. But that ain't what it says.
No.
It says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the named according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. That's what called means.
Yeah.
They're named in the covenant of grace.
Amen.
He chose them, wrote their names down in the Lamb Book of Life, Hebrews 12:23, and that's where it's at today. Let's look at that. Hebrews 12:23. I'll just read it to you. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. But you are coming to Mount Zion and into the city of the living God and to the heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. They've always been written there. Which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. In Ephesians 1:11, we read, he says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. But let's back up to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Well, when was that? When was we made accepted in the beloved? Well, that's when we was chosen in the beloved, before the foundation of the world. Of course, we didn't know about it. We didn't know that we had been chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, until God sent somebody to us with the gospel to tell us the good news. Except, and notice that this comes in here before the mention of redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, that is, in his grace, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now, people say, well, God looked down through a telescope of time and saw all these things. God foreknew what men would do, and therefore he chose. No, he purposed it in himself. There was nothing outside of himself that had any influence upon his choosing. It's in himself. All decisions were made in himself. It wasn't a community effort. It was God working. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. His own will. Singular.
Yep.
So all these things that come to pass in the church are for the good of the church. If there are false preachers allowed to stand up, it's for the good of the church. If their doctrine spreads like wildfire, it's for the good of the church, like Arminianism has. And what it does, it separates the wheat from the chaff. Look at Amos 3:6. Amos 3:6. No, that ain't what I'm looking for. Jeremiah 23:28 is what I want. Jeremiah 23:28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell his dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? They'll be separated. There'll be a winnowing. There'll be a threshing. And it happens down here. Notice, you know, we don't have a lot of Arminians in here today. Reckon why that is. Well, it's because the truth separates you. Look at Amos 3:6. Let's go back to Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Now all these, everything that comes to pass is ordained of God. And shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord not have done it? So whatever comes to pass, we can figure on that the Lord is the author of it. He allowed it to come to pass. And that doesn't make him the author of evil or the author of sin. As in the fall, God didn't make Adam eat the apple. He put him in a situation and forbid him to eat the apple and said to him, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God knew that he would. He put him there, and Adam did. But God didn't make him do it. So he's not, all of these things that men do, those things that when those men crucified the Lord of glory, they were ordained to that. But God didn't make them do it. They did it out of their own wicked and evil heart. So man is absolutely responsible for his actions, and if the person goes to hell, it's his fault. That's just how it is. Look at John 4:1, or at the first epistle of John. Now, how is it that we are to deal with? How are we to separate what we hear? One time I was preaching in a prison, and so after I'd preached for a good while, some of those prisoners come to me and they said, "Now, when we get out, we're going to hear everything." He said, "How are we going to know what's the truth and what's not?" I said, "You're going to have to search the scriptures. You're going to have to know what thus saith the word of the Lord." Because Satan's men can be seductive and very deceptive, and error creeps in very small increments. So it behooves us to know what the word of the Lord says. And it behooves us to study the word. And our preachers are told to study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." That is, don't believe every preacher. They all pretend to speak of by the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit, but they don't. "Not, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Already at that early stage in the Christian church. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world." There are many Antichrists. There are Antichrists on every hand. And the only way we can identify them is by the knowledge of the truth. Knowing the true gospel. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them." Well, the people of God hear the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't hear the world. They will not follow a stranger. The message of the gospel will close with the children of God. And a message that's not of the gospel won't close. It just don't sound right. So the children of God are to try the spirits, and you know, you shouldn't be afraid to approach a preacher. A preacher that will scoff at you or scold you if you try to approach him and speak with him on a scripture. He's got a wrong spirit about him.
Yes, sir.
And if he does, you can say, "Well, I don't want anything more to do with you." But myself, Jerry, Bill, I know that we all want you to search the scriptures. Read along with us. See if what we're telling you is the truth. Verify it by the word of the Lord. We are to earnestly contend for the faith, or that body of truth that is the gospel of Jesus Christ that was once delivered to the saints. And a preacher that won't answer your questions, or is put out with you for asking him a question, or if he thinks he's above being questioned, he ain't somebody you need to listen to. Just get away from him. But in Isaiah 8:20, He said this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them.
Yeah.
Now, back in 1 John chapter 4, those people who deny the doctrine of Christ, what this book says about the Lord Jesus Christ, those who deny that are of the spirit of Antichrist. Look at 1 John chapter 2. In verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us. They found our doctrine intolerable. That God is sovereign, they didn't like that. That God elects, predestinates, keeps his people, brings them home to glory, finally, all whom he ordained to eternal life. That did not sit well with them. So they went out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They weren't true children of God. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Paul said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work in his day. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Well, what are we to say about all these things? All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or height or depth or depth or life or whatever, 1 Corinthians 3:22-23, all things are yours and you are Christ and Christ is God's.
Amen.
And what Christ allows to come to his church is for her edification, finally. It may seem to be difficult when the church gets all in an uproar. But the truth is, the people of God, they sit quietly by and listen and weigh up what they hear, and they won't be moved away from the truth. The false professor, he may take off on a tangent, but the children of God won't. Look at Matthew 24. And verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs. Now he didn't say this. Now this might happen. He said it's going to happen. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And that's preachers. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, why is it not possible? Because God won't allow it. God just won't let. Look at Mark chapter 13. Verse 22. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But he said, take heed, behold, I have told you before, I have foretold you all things. So, the Lord, in that verse, in 1 Corinthians 11:19, he said, there must needs be also heresies among you. In verse 18, just before that, he had said, for first of all, when you are come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you all, among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also, as well as divisions, there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, the purpose of it is that they which are approved might be shown to be approved. They speak the truth because they care for the souls of men, and chiefly for the glory of God and for the glory of His gospel. And they speak the truth because they are of the truth to people who can hear the truth. Nobody else wants to hear them. The world doesn't want to hear them. The world wants to hear somebody speaking that worldly language. Well, how can we know? How can we make our calling and election sure? Do you believe in your heart? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how simple it is. Somebody says, well, that's too simple. No, it ain't. It's just the truth. That's how we know. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life.